Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Inside the Huddle. We're wrapping up Indiana's 31-24 win at Wake Forest from Saturday. TJ Inman will be joining us shortly. To go over that win, Indiana moves to 4-0 for the first time since 1990. They're riding a five-game winning streak dating back to last year's Bucky game, their longest such streak since 1987. So it's all good, looking good for the Hoosiers going into this week. We welcome in TJ Inman, co-host. TJ, how are you today?
I'm doing really well, Sammy. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's been a kind of a long day and a long drive back from North Carolina, which is why we're doing it on a Monday. But it was a nice win for the Hoosiers, and we'll see what they could do from here.
Yeah, it was awesome to have Hoosier Huddle represented there. You did a great job with the coverage. Some really good pictures, really good videos and articles provided by you and Nick both. It was a really good win. It was a game that had a lot of people nervous because of what could be with Ohio State coming in this week and how big of a week it could be just for exposure for IU football. And, you know, this going to Wake Forest had a lot of people nervous. The road game at a Power 5 opponent that, you know, IU in the past, you know, maybe people worry that they'd find a way to, quote, screw it up or find a way to punch you in the gut with a tough loss right before that huge week. But this team proved that they, once again, are different. You know, as you said, the first time since 1990, which speaks to how good of an accomplishment it is for IU football. I know for a lot of programs, 4-0 is not something that you know, consider noteworthy. It's something that is, oh yeah, good. Now let's actually start playing the important games. But, you know, for IU football, this is something that doesn't happen very often at all. And I think that for this year's team, it was a really good accomplishment because of the kind of the way that they had to win some of these games. They didn't play well against Southern Illinois, but they found a way to get it done. They didn't play well in parts of the game against Florida International, but they found a way to make the big plays at the end. You know, Western Kentucky, the defense makes two key turnovers to help get that win. And then against Wake Forest, it was really a well-balanced team effort that until those final 10 minutes really was about as well as you can expect IU to play. The offense wasn't perfect, but it is a good Wake Forest defense they were going up against. The defense gave up a couple of nice drives, but they did a really good job of getting pressure, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But what really stood out right away was that IU's offense, mainly the offensive line and Jordan Howard, continued to be able to impose their will on the opposition as Howard again went over 150. Just another great day for him. He continues to look really, really good. And the offensive line, you know, helping him look really good. And then defensively, what stood out right away was the pressure that they were able to get on the quarterback, Kendall Hinton. You know, just how physical the defense was able to play. I was reading some of the Wake Forest coverage, and I can't remember the last time that I watched a game where I said, wow, you know, the IU defense is really, really making life hard on the opposing offense with how hard they're hitting and how physical they're playing. And then the Wake Forest coverage that I read, their fans on some of their fan blogs were kind of echoing that to where they were just kind of dismayed at how physical IU's defense was with their offense. And they thought that the Hoosiers were a little bit chippy and I saw a couple comments calling some of the plays dirty, but you know, I can't remember the last time that an IU defense was that physical with the opposition. They got constant pressure on Kendall Hinton, made life hard on him. And if you take away those last 10 minutes, it was a tremendous performance for the defense. And overall, some things you definitely can continue to work on, but you know, the non-conference season can be considered nothing but a success.
Yeah, exactly. And we're going to bring in Nick Holmes here in a second to get his thoughts as well. TJ, being on the field and seeing both teams in warm-ups, it was definitely obvious that Indiana had the bigger, more physical team. And that's something against a Power 5 opponent. We haven't seen all that much at IU. Things did get a little chippy when I rewatched the game again. We'll see if those plays were actually dirty or just playing hard. I know one of the plays that they're probably complaining about was not Demetrius McCray, but Robert McCray's sack that got called for a face mask, which was kind of clothesline the guy, but it's football. You're going to get hit. I don't think there were any cheap shots. Maybe one of the plays out of bounds could have been that in modern day football, but I thought McCray's hit was pretty clean. He just went up high. The quarterback was short. I mean, he's like 6 foot and McCray's a big dude. But yeah, it was a sight to see that they really were bigger and more physical. Nick, what are your thoughts on the game?
I echo what both of you guys are saying. I made the comment probably right before the big run started in the fourth quarter. I said, this is the first time in a while that I've seen IU absolutely dominate in every phase of the game. And then it kind of fell apart at the end. But you could tell that we were more physically prepared, developed than what Wake Forest was. And that's a Power 5 conference, so, you know, there's a lot to take from that. On the other end, I think the fact that we were able to get such a big lead there at the end, and even though they didn't make the run, Hinton wasn't as big a factor in the running game as what he could have been. I mean, he still had, if you take the sacks out, he still carried the ball 22 times for 89 yards. So that's still pretty decent clip, but not nearly as bad as what we had seen in the past against dual threat quarterbacks. So I thought that was pretty encouraging. I like the emergence of Simi Cobbs. That was great to see. We definitely need a bigger body that we can use in the red zone. But yeah, a lot of what you guys said are basically all my takeaways. That penalties were an issue again this week, and I don't know if either of you had hit on that yet. 11 penalties for, I think it was around 119 yards. So that needs to be cleaned up, because a couple of those, the holding penalty in the fourth quarter, pretty much stalled out that last drive Indiana had. And then there were a couple pass interference penalties that kept the Wake Forest drive going. So those things need to be cleaned up, because although they weren't costly this week, once you start playing the stuff for conference opponents, they can have bigger ramifications.
Yeah, exactly, Nick. And penalties played a big part, I think, in Wake Forest's first drive, where there was a late hit out of bounds that gave them 15 yards, and it really led them to tie the score. One of the things that also stood out to me, the defense played outstanding for the first 53 minutes or so. The offense, they played okay. It's tough. It was bad weather. It's on the road against a good defense. But they had a chance really to pad the lead there in the first quarter and make it, you know, 10-0, 14-0, 17-0, and they couldn't do that. And the coaches know that. Sudfeld, after the game, said they're not clicking on all cylinders yet. Wilson said that they're not all in sync, that they really need to clean up some stuff, and that this offense, while they're playing okay and still winning, has a long ways to go. And that's one of the best signs we've seen, is that, you know, maybe in years past, this Indiana team could be, you know, 2-2, or worst case scenario, 0-4. These are games that in the past, I know I've beaten this horse before, but these are games that IU loses in the past. That, you know, 21-point lead down to 7, with a chance for a Hail Mary there at the end. A lot of times that doesn't go IU's way in the past. So it was good to see them win like this. They've won in every fashion. They closed out the game against Western Kentucky. They held on for dear life against Southern Illinois, and they made a big defensive stand against Florida International to put that team away. So more or less, they've won in every conceivable way, and I think that's going to be huge going into Big Ten play.
Yeah.
So next, let's talk about what they could take away from this game and move on to Ohio State. Now, Hinton, Wilson said that there was a shot on Hinton that may have shaken him up a little bit and kept him from running. Rewatching the first half last night, there was something to do maybe with his left tricep, but there was also a play, I think Scales, correct me guys if I'm wrong, I think Scales or TJ Simmons came in on a hit and hit him almost right in the, between the shoulder blades and the back on a scramble. And it looked like a very, very hard hit that mm-hmm. maybe made him think twice about running the ball.
Yeah, that was Tigre Scales, who had a massive game. It was really, really good to have Tigre Scales back. But, I think that Kevin Wilson did mention that, and I think what stood out to me was with Tigre Scales was the amount of, number one, the amount of space that he can cover and how much of a difference that makes for this defense. And I can't help but think back to the Southern Illinois game and what a difference he would have made against Mark Iannotti on those inside zone plays. I think it would have been a significantly different game had Tigre Scales been there to lay the wood a few times on Iannotti in the first half of that game, but I digress. Back to reality, since that unfortunately didn't happen. But I think that really, I was surprised at how well IU did against Kendall Hinton in the running game. You mentioned it, Nick. That could have been a much bigger part of how this one played out, and the outcome could have been different if IU would not have done a good job staying disciplined in their lanes and doing a good job of tackling when they had the chance. There were a few plays where this happened, but there weren't a lot of plays where Wake Forest was able to get past, more than one Indiana defender. I thought that IU did a better job than we'd seen so far this season in tackling in space, and they didn't really allow a ton of big plays. I think if you Again, we say this, you can't take away those final few drives, but if you did, and I think those final few drives kind of occurred in a fluke scenario where Wake Forest was having to let it go, and they convert, five fourth downs. And, it happened. It was ugly. But if you take the regular flow of the game, they only had a couple of plays where I'd say that Indiana really had bad just out and out bad defense all around. So it was a step forward for the defense and the physicality from the defensive line. Latham, Ralph Green, Zach Shaw, Nick Mangieri, and then Robert McCray as well, providing some. And I know he got that penalty for the face mask, but it's good to see him get in the rotation there and give some good minutes or some good snaps. And then the linebacking core as well. And I'll throw Jonathan Crawford in because he was up there along the line of scrimmage, kind of an extra guy in the box as well. I thought that it was really good to see them establish the line of scrimmage just like the offensive line does for IU, establish it with a level of physicality that kind of impacts the game. And they were able to get a lot of pressure, multiple sacks against Wake Forest, which, that offensive line, we talked about it before the game, that could be an area where IU exploits, and they did a good job of doing that. It's a very young Wake Forest offensive line. It kind of has to remind Indiana fans of what IU had maybe 3 years ago. They believe that they have some talent there, and I think they do. They've got some young guys in the offensive line. They've got Kendall Hinton there, quarterback, promising guy. But they're just not grown yet. It was good to see IU use the growth that they've experienced these last few years and actually use it to their advantage and physically come out on top on both lines of scrimmage, which in my opinion is that plus just the difference factor that is Jordan Howard is why Indiana was able to go into Lake Forest on their homecoming. It wasn't an amazing crowd by any means, but still it's tough to go in on the road, and IU was able to do that. And I think that the offensive, defensive lines were the major reasons why.
Not our apparent writing that that IU was going to go down and run roughshod all over them.
That was a bit bizarre. I don't know which Indiana papers the ACC network commentators were reading, or what possessed them to think that Nate Sudfeld suddenly turned into a much more muscular, dark-haired person in Finn Bach, but it is what it is. It definitely made me happy for the coverage that we get in the Big Ten Network, which I'm not always a fan of, but I would take watching a game on the Big Ten Network over another one on the ACC Network all day.
Yeah, and I mean, seeing Twitter and seeing the reactions about the broadcast coverage, I'll watch the broadcast again just to see how laughable and how bad it was. Another thing to take out of this is that, some people might look at IU's defense in the last 10 minutes there as kind of crumbling, but to me, IU took their best punch. You're on the road against a Power 5 team. They have their backs against the wall. They're going to give you their best shot. So, I think, one positive is that they took their best shot and they came out of it ahead, even though, it was a little fluky play on they executed a great onside kick and scored 14 points there, but they got the win, and all's well that ends well. So that was my take on that last 10 minutes.
This kind of gets back to your original point. We haven't seen this team at its full potential. They've not played 100% yet, and that's really encouraging too, because there are in years past where we would enter games like against Wake Forest where we knew it was going to take an absolutely perfect game to come out on top, and they didn't. The offense was, like you said, not clicking on all cylinders. The defense had a few lapses there at the end, and the special teams let them down a little bit on that onside kick. So if the team were to put it all together, who really knows what this group's capable of?
Yeah, and that was one of the things that some people were saying before the season, is that this IU team is strong enough to where they don't need to play a perfect game to win anymore. They could play, like they did on Saturday, they could play against other teams at maybe half capacity and get away with some things that they couldn't get away with in the past. Now, is that something to rest your laurels on? No, and I don't think the coaching staff is comfortable with that either. And they want this team hitting on all cylinders because they are 4-0. There is a buzz about them. They do have the number one team in the nation coming in on Saturday, and who knows where the ceiling is for this team. Are they going to go to the Big Ten Championship? Probably not, but they could rattle off 7, 8, maybe 9 wins if they start humming on all cylinders.
I'm not sure what the ceiling is for this team, and that's good. That's a good thing. After 4 weeks, to not feel like, okay, we've seen the best of this team, and that's all there is to see. We know what's going to happen. Very few college football teams are that way. I don't think that IU is either. You don't know exactly how good this team could be, but I do think that there is another level or two for them to go, and I think that being pushed and just looking at the schedule, and we're not going to go game by game or anything, but they have done what they needed to do in the non-conference to set themselves up to achieve their goals. And I think that there are going to be enough games in the Big Ten where they are going to be able to just play well, not play perfect, but play well and feel good about their chances to get a victory. I think there are enough games like that they can get to that 6 wins and above, and so that we could, sit here and be very, very happy about this season, and that they can be, as a team, be very happy about the season as well. And it has been my entire lifetime as a fan since I was, you know, since I could say that going into the Big Ten, which is really, really exciting. One thing I did want to ask you guys about, and you noted it, Sammy, in your game wrap and reaction, the special teams, the coverage units have been awesome. They continue to be really good. That's been a very nice thing to see here, especially in the last 2 weeks. They've been dynamite, and they were good against FIU as well. The one area you noted and that I noted during the game as well that needs a boost or just something different needs to happen is kick return. Right now I'm at the point where I'm saying if it gets into the end zone, take a knee and let's take a touchback and then start from the 25. I don't really understand. I don't understand what's really going wrong. I have not watched the tape to see if it's some of the blocking, if it's indecision by the kick return guy. I don't see a lot of dancing around by Ricky Brookins or Mike Majette. Like you said, Devontae Williams did not get a shot there on Saturday, but I think that I'd like to give Mitchell Page a shot at kick return. He's done a good job on punt return. I thought he made good decisions against Wake Forest, and he had the big play against Western Kentucky. But I know they don't really want to risk him on kick return because he is proving to be a valuable part of the offense. So what do you guys want to see happen on kick return here moving into the Big Ten?
Well, it's something I asked at the media availability today to Wilson. And, he said there was one kick last week where I think Brookins took it where he didn't know it was right at the goal line, almost at the 1 yard line. And he just took it out and said, "Coach, I didn't know if I was out or not, so I just took it." And so that was something that Wilson was like, "That's good. If just don't think about it. If you're going to go, go." You know, so that's good to see. He did hint at that maybe if the ball, if you know you're in the end zone, just take a knee, give him the 25-yard line, and go from there. And that's one of the benefits of that new-ish rule that – starts at the 25. One thing I want to say about Page and the punt return, they were amazing last week, even though they didn't have any returns. Wake Forest, their strategy was basically to rugby kick it into the mess and hope it hits an Indiana player. That's what Wilson talks about today. And it's a strategy that's kind of bold. But it was, Indiana didn't have a punt that went off him. They got the ball, they caught it. They didn't fumble it in bad weather. So Mitchell Page has been doing a great job on punt returns, and the rest of special teams is outstanding. But kick returns, they do need a boost, and whether or not that's putting Page back there. Devontae Williams has explosiveness, but, I didn't see him on the field at all on Saturday, even in the defensive backfield after he started against Western Kentucky. So maybe he's a little banged up there. I tried to ask that at media days today, but Wilson kind of overlooked that question. But we'll see who they put back there. Isaac Griffith is another guy who's pretty fast, who's getting in on the offense. Maybe they start rotating guys in and out there. But they sure do miss Jayshon Harris at that position.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really have anything to add. You guys covered it pretty well. If you don't feel confident that you're going to be able to get out to the 25, your best option is, take the knee. I too like the Matrix Devontae Williams back there, but for whatever reason, and I noticed this on Saturday that he wasn't on the field, and I don't recall seeing him on the sideline either. So maybe he's just got dinged up in practice or something, and they just held him out. So, yeah.
Yeah, and it's something that IU hasn't been great at the last 2 years. They weren't good at kick returns last year as well, and they really haven't been great since Tevin was returning kicks with Shane Wynn and had that explosiveness. Now, he doesn't want all his starters playing at every level of special teams, but maybe – when it comes Big Ten time to say, hey, we need to get this offense going and in better field position, because you only have so many drives that are going to go 80 yards or more. And if he keeps starting at the 17-yard line, there'll be some games where you can't control field position and it's going to hurt them. But other than that, it was a spectacular special teams performance. It was a pretty good offensive performance. There were some plays, Simi Cobbs could have caught that deep ball. Sudfeld missed some open guys across the middle on some plays. But overall, they didn't turn the ball over against the defense. It's pretty good in really crummy weather. And the defensive performance is outstanding. I think I saw Punt John Punt. If you don't follow them on Twitter, they do a terrific job with statistics. I think they came out with a statistic that had IU's defense had 40 plays where Wake Forest either lost yardage or didn't gain any yards. So the defense, regardless of the last 10 minutes, really played well.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
going into
absolutely.
Week, go ahead, Nick.
I was going to say absolutely. Those first three series by Wake Forest and those consecutive three and outs, I don't ever recall seeing that in the past of any Indiana football game. So that was really encouraging to see right out of the gate. But like you noted, the offense was unable to take advantage of those four early possessions, and they only grabbed 7 points. Going up 14 or 17 could have drastically changed the course of the game. Luckily, a win was had anyway, but
yeah, and that was one of the keys to the game I put is, you know, take the will from this team. It was, you know, there really is nothing worse than sitting in the rain and watching your team at home get run out of the building by, you know, an equal opponent or, you know, maybe not talent-wise equal, but they're similar teams in different conferences. So that was, you know, would have been big, but they got the win. Again, it's a game that maybe in the past, if IU doesn't take advantage of that, they miss their opportunity and lose that game. But overall, they're 4-0. They're heading into Ohio. They're heading into next week. They have Ohio State at home. It's the first time a number one ranked team has come into Bloomington since 1998. It's the first time since 2006 that IU has faced the number one team in the country. And you know, all the pomp and circumstance is going to be there. You know, Dan Dockich is talking about having a student game day down there. Whether we're fans of it or not is besides the point. But there is some buzz around Indiana and around Bloomington. So it's going to be very interesting to see what the partition of the crowd is. Is it going to be 50-50? Is it going to be majority IU fans? Is it going to be majority Ohio State fans? So there's definitely a ton of storylines going into next week, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Yeah, it's going to be a really, really cool Saturday, and I don't mean the weather. I mean it's going to be a really fun atmosphere, and it's one that I don't think that many IU fans think that the Hoosiers have a legitimate shot to win this game. But I don't think that that's necessarily the benchmark. I know the players don't feel that way, the coaches don't feel that way, and that's great. And I totally understand that. They probably are going to go into that game feeling like we've got a shot. You know, we played these guys close last year, and we didn't have our quarterback. We feel like we're a better team now, so we're going to go out and have a good shot to win this game. I get that. I feel like most fans, the benchmark is going to be, can we be competitive? You know, can we make Ohio State work to get the 5-0, and then can we just continue this to continue to keep the momentum? I think if you go out and get shellacked, you know, by 50 points, you certainly don't lose any of the four wins, but it does take a little bit of shine off of that 4-0 start if you play like, you know, dog doo doo, I guess, in the you know, in the fifth game against a big test like Ohio State. So I think it's important for the Hoosiers to just play well. You know, execute your game plan, make Ohio State work, and you know, see where you're at. You know, if you can make it a game in the third quarter, sure, why not? Yeah, I hope that there is a good supportive IU crowd
that they like what they see and decide to come back. You know, they're on the road at Happy Valley, another very tough game, and then you got Rutgers after that. I think worst case scenario, you're looking at we need to get one of those three games. Worst case scenario, get one of the three, and then you'd be 5-2. You know, heading into that last part of your schedule. If you drop all three of those, you're looking at 4-3, and you're, you know, getting kind of antsy about whether or not that bowl game is going to happen. So I think you're looking at worst case, get one of those three, and if you can get two of those three, look out. You know, look out, because that would be a huge accomplishment, and obviously it'd be the
biggest
event. So it's going to be an awesome
exactly
week. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, exactly. IU has played them well since Wilson has been there. So any type of performance to where they play well, nobody gets hurt. That's my big thing, is that nobody – don't get hurt, because if somebody gets hurt, it could derail this whole thing. But play well, execute well, show that you belong on the same field as Ohio State. That doesn't mean you have to win the game. Just show that you belong. You know, if you lose by the spread, I think, is 21 points. As long as you cover the spread, you'll be okay. The fans, I urge them, stay at halftime. You know, it's going to be an electric atmosphere. It's an ABC national game. Enjoy the tailgate. I really hope IU unrestricts the tailgating for the students, just to pump up that atmosphere a little bit more. And those are my final thoughts. Nick, what are your final thoughts here?
Preview on my numbers piece this week. In the four games that Coach Wilson has coached against Ohio State, keep in mind the first one was against Luke Fickell. We have been defeated by an average of 15 points per game. Two of those games last season, and I believe it was the 2012 matchup, were very close games. So, you know, don't count them out. Obviously, they're 21-point dogs for, you know, a reason. Ohio State, the best team in the nation. So most teams would be multiple touchdown dogs to them anyway. So, you know, let's just prepare the next 5 days and see what Saturday brings.
Definitely. There is some information. We'll post the traffic information again on the site. I did tweet out some parking PSA that they sent out to season ticket holders. If you have any more information on traffic, send it to us. We want to send it out to the IU fans so they know what to expect on Saturday. Nick, TJ, thanks for joining me today. We'll be back on Wednesday. We have an Ohio State writer coming on to help us preview that the game, and we'll see you on Wednesday morning.
Thanks,
guys. Absolutely. Thanks a lot.
Yep, thank you.
All right, that does it for tonight's wrap-up show. Indiana's 4-0 heading into Ohio State game. We'll preview that on Wednesday. Meanwhile, keep coming back to Hoosier Huddle. We'll have you all covered on quotes from Media Day today, as well as Ohio State game coverage. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.